London's burning! London's burning! All across the town, all across the night, everybody's driving with forehead light. Black or white, you turn it on your face and the religion. Everybody's sitting round watching television. London's burned.
We're born on now.
London's burned.
Down.
London's burning.
We're born on now.
London's burning.
Down.
I'm up and down the west side, in and out the light. What a great traffic system. It's so bright. I can't think of a better way to spend the night than speeding around. This block, this one leads to that. Going down through the empty block, looking for a home. I'm up through the empty stone, cause I'm all alone. London's burning.
We're born on now.
London's burning.
Down.
London's burning.
We're born on now.
London's burning.
Down.
These people have no morality. They sponge off the taxpayer. They are thieves, have little respect for the law or society. They steal and have no respect for other people. And now they are coming home from holiday to sort out the riots.
Good morning. I've come straight from a meeting of the government's COBRA committee for dealing with emergencies, where we've been discussing the action that we will be taking to help the police to deal with the disorder on the streets of London and elsewhere in our country. I've also met with the Metropolitan Police Commissioner and the Home Secretary to discuss this further. And people should be in no doubt that we will do everything necessary to restore order to Britain's streets and to make them safe for the law-abiding.
Riots are the voices of the unheard. With all the madness on today's streets, is this really what anarchism means? London and the UK has never seen an insurrection on a grand scale quite like this before. Systematic mayhem, and Britain is quite literally burning. The MPs have even rushed back from their well-deserved holidays. Where do we stand on this as anarchists? One thing is for sure, we're definitely divided here. Without any further ado, let thoughts on this commence.
Yeah, this is something that as anarchists we've been aiming for years and years and years. We wanted the working class to step up and take stuff, to not ask permission, to make the Met look like fucking idiots. And they're doing it, and for anyone to turn around and pussy out now is ridiculous.
I don't think there are anarchists that would condemn this, because if you instantly came out and condemned this, you're not an anarchist. An anarchist is a person that believes in a classless society and wants to build a society based on cooperation instead of competition. To do that, we acknowledge that the ruling class have such a stronghold over society that there will have to be struggle, like in the form of barricades, rioting and wealth redistribution. Any anarchist that would look at this and go, oh, a person got mugged, a house was burnt in Tottenham, I'm having nothing to do with this. They're clearly not anarchists. They're what the communists used to call it in the 50s, fellow travellers. You might share some politics, but this is the divide. I mean, I can understand why a lot of people be scared and confused by this. It's a little bit too self-organised, a little bit too dirty, isn't it? It's the real working class. Yeah, it's not that pretty. They're not forming workers' councils. They're not talking about, how great it is to be in an inclusive, multicultural society. Their actions are great, though. Like, you know, I was walking around with people and things like that. There was no, I didn't hear any kind of slurs kind of being thrown at any women, no sexist talk, no racist talk. It's better than most days walking around. You walk around with, like, you know, you kind of walk close to a young lady in the area. You see, like, various parts of London. You will hear kind of people shouting kind of weird stuff over. You will get kind of people, like, wolf whistling and stuff. That wasn't happening then. People were just focused on the battle ahead.
Either you believe in the working class who've been out on the streets, or you believe in, like, fuck all.
I'm so hyped up after the events after the last few days that it actually makes me sort of, well, they say proud to be British, like, but proud to be working class.
I think it's absolutely amazing. It started off from something so, well, frankly, routine. There's been so many people that the cops have killed, and you don't think that this is going to be the one that's going to lead off to a really big kick-off. It's the same thing, similar to, like, the student protest last year. After years and years of the students doing fuck all, they suddenly decided to do it one day, and it seems to have been the same up in Tottenham this time. From Tottenham, I think that the thing that spread it was partly the rioting, but also I think the pictures that emerged from Wood Green, where people in the morning were seen taking stuff out of Shopping City without going past the cash till, or probably taking the cash till with them.
It is a little bit disappointing when you see people attacking, you know, little shops and stuff and houses, and yet there's a big old Parliament down the road, which admittedly is empty at the moment anyway. It's August, they're all on holiday, as we've seen, all in their villas in Tuscany. But, you know, there are more sensible targets if you happen to be in that frame of mind. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's not for me to tell anybody. It's for the kids to, you know, do.
And what they have shown is that the police can be beaten, which is, you know, which is a really good point. And it's good for people to see that. And it's good for people to have the confidence to go out and fight the police. And anarchists should be all for that, you know. And I think the opportunity is there now for anarchists and activists on the left to get out there and radicalise people and help politicise people, help people in their daily struggles actually be useful to the working class and not just pious adjudicators, you know.
Funny thing is, there's a lot of political activists, a lot of people that, you know, who are maybe have been posing or posturing as revolutionaries, whether it's through, you know, the music industry or any other kind of self-obsessed industry. These people that have been posing as revolutionaries, this happened abroad. If this was in France or, you know, Greece or Italy, or even in, like, you know, part of the Arab Spring or something, in Libya, people would be wanking off intellectually about it, posing about it. But when it's on their doorstep, it's interesting seeing people's reaction. The people that have almost shown a lot of class snobbery towards it and just condemning it completely as thugs, mindless thugs, and really echoing the way the media wants everyone to think about it, that these people are feral youth. And the vitriol that's been on the radio, on the TV, of people saying, just put them against the wall and shoot them. I mean, is that really what we're saying? Is that our kids, we're going to put kids against the wall and shoot them, send them to the prisons? The prisons are already full. There's no more space. And I think, you know, viewing it out of that political context, the political context is so important. Understanding this, how ghettos are created. They're created within a system that's about rich and poor divides. And this is like, it's come back to bite them in the arse, really.
Probably one of the purest examples of, like, a rich-poor divide that we've seen in this country in God knows how long. But, and you can see it because, I mean, anyone who's got anything to lose is fucking scared. Yeah. And anybody who doesn't have anything to lose is all for it. And you can tell that just by talking to people.
I just don't know what you want, you know. Anarchists are supposed to want revolution, you know. You know, we've got to make it happen, and you can't. I don't understand how you can condemn people for, you know, striking back in their own way. You know, it might not be entirely what you agree with or what you would do yourself, but, you know, surely as anarchists we can understand that not everyone thinks in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, attacks against the state and against capitalism and against the institution of property, we should welcome this, you know,
mm-hmm.
and try and spread the message in our own way of what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that modern society in the Western world needs to have these large disturbances. It's just part of society, and I don't mean that it's a way of society criticising itself and benefiting from itself. I think people don't realise that it's a much more complicated part of society that just has to happen every 30, 40, 20 years.
You get 55 quid, 55 measly quid a week on the dole. Like, you know, say you got £110 a week on the dole and you could still afford all your food and your electricity.
Mm.
There wouldn't be kickoffs like this. If people weren't in absolute poverty at the bottom of society, it wouldn't be this heavy, this match going on. And to show that this isn't just like slums of London phenomenon, Birmingham, Liverpool, Nottingham, Bristol, all going off. This is the whole country. This is people that are being pushed to the fringe all over. Like, unemployment isn't just happening in London. It's everywhere, and people are outraged. The biggest shame about it is, partly because it is a kind of lot of the youth standing up and taking a stand against this mental society we're in. They're the kind of people that are willing to go out. Like, yeah, of course there's looting. Yeah, of course you're going to take the stuff you can't afford.
Mm.
Like, yeah, there is looting and there is a lot of violence, especially towards the police. But, you know, it's the biggest shame is the utter failure of basically our generation to be able to bring about change in society. Means it's falling onto the heads of 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds kids to go out and fight. I heard a 13-year-old girl walking down the street. She was on her way up to Hackney, like, you know, and she was just saying, like, this is our time, this is our time. Anyone stops us, oh, you don't want to know. It's like, these are 13-year-old kids, and they're aware of how alienated they are. They're aware that, like, you know, the one small area that they had, like, a slight control of their lives, like, you know, control 30 quid a week, like, you know, whether you spend it on travel or a little bit of chicken or even a little bit of white lightning cider, like, been removed from them. They're losing everything. Along with that, there's schools and stuff, although a few of them might be happy at the schools being cut a bit. Like, you know, education opportunities falling. And knowing when you leave school at 16 that there's no jobs to go into. Mm. Utter alienation and hopelessness from society, along with a police that only bully you. Like, people talk about community relations with the police. There are no community relations with the police. In Tower Hamlets, what's a community relation with the police? Like, you know, some 50-year-old geezer with, a long beard from the mosque is out talking about, like, what it means to be Muslim in the Tower Hamlets. He doesn't know what it's like to be 15. Like, in the area, in school, where you're probably getting bullied by a teacher, being bullied by other people, worried about gangs, where you're going to get knifed. Like, you know, and on top of that, you're having to share probably a room with, like, maybe two other siblings. Like, cramped accommodation, you can't even have a wank because there's just people all around you all the time. Constant observation, it's enough to drive you mad. That is actually one of the most interesting things about this as well. The complete and utter, like, postcode truce, gang truce in every respect. Black, white, Asian, all on the streets together. Like, I was on the train yesterday. Like, a couple of black kids were just there shouting, like, oh, you know, where are you heading? We were just having a little bit of chat to them. They were just kind of shouting loudly, like, see, this isn't a black thing. Yeah. This is bigger than black and this is bigger than white. Like, you know, a complete understanding that there's more to this. This isn't race or anything like this. This is class. It's people that are so working class, they don't even identify as working class. Like, you know, these concepts, like, you know, they're not there reading Socialist Worker at the end of the week. Like, they don't know those concepts because they're not going to be taught them in school, are they? The schools are shit. Like, yeah, I think it's completely and utterly blown me away. It's changed the face of British politics. It's, I think a quote from Ian Bone was, it's broken the logjam. Like, there's no longer going to be that psychological barrier at protests anymore about petrol bombs and about burning cars. Maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, maybe for the better. Like, you know, it's changed our society from now. Who knows what's going to happen coming up with Notting Hill or with when the English Defence League decide to march through Tower Hamlets on the 3rd of September. Like, you know, if they come up with a tenth of the resistance at what covered Hackney yesterday and as well much of the capital, I mean, you know, you're still getting updates. It seems more like a poem coming in. Like, you know, Catford, Beckenham, Peckenham. Like, just a list of areas. And that's all it is. You're just getting a list of areas where you know it's kicking off everywhere. I got the bus through Whitechapel and walked down Bethnal Green today. It's just windows boarded up. Halifax. But, like, there's about 30 coppers protecting PC World. That's one of the bizarre things as well. The idea of quelling this kind of disturbance isn't to address any problems. You go on BBC News, partly because BBC News and Sky News, their camera crews are getting beaten out of the area. Like, people aren't, these kids aren't stupid. Like, these communities aren't stupid. They know if you're seen on BBC News throwing a brick, you're going to get arrested. They know that this footage is used by the police, and many photographers give this footage to the police. They don't want to be photographed anymore. They know to protect their identity and to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but the idea that the BBC completely and utterly unable to report on this. Instead, you've got, like, you know, like small business owners going, it's an outrage, you know, my business is slightly damaged. No, it's an outrage. People can't afford to go into your business and buy stuff. It's an outrage that people are living in crap housing. It's an outrage that people can't afford to put electricity on their meter. Like, this is an outrage. Like, not like a little bit of violence kind of going on. And that's all it is. It is only a little bit.
I think it has really, really polarised people, which I don't think would normally be a good thing, but I think here it is, because, you know, they're not just attacking Tesco's, they're not just attacking the carpet, right? They're attacking everybody who owns a business. And I'm not saying that everybody who owns a business is a complete bourgeois fascist who just wants to, you know, see the working class get put down. But they are of a different class.
We should get into fucking Hampstead. We should get into the rich areas. Like, don't worry about Hackney High Street and, you know, Croydon and Peckham and that. Get out into the rich areas, take what they've got, then you're really taking back what's yours.
If you're in an area and it's kicking off, like, you know, if it's light and you feel like, you know, be brave. Go out and see what's happening. Like, if you see the police attacking some kids, say something. If you see them hassling someone, go up and say, oh yeah, where's your guns now? Like, you know, Mark Duggan's dead. Why don't you just move off? Tell them. Like, you've got to be brave. You've got to be bold, because if we allow for, like, lies to be perpetuated in the media of just various yuppies being talking, people in, like, you know, very, like, Greece and Cairo must be scratching their heads with madness, kind of going, why is no one from the streets being represented? Why is it only business firms and these so-called community leaders that don't have any experience of living in these communities, or at least the part parts of these communities? Why are these the only voice? So just go out, talk to people. Like, see why, ask them, why are you doing this? Like, not in an aggressive way, of course, don't be mad. Like, just go and say, why are you doing this? And how can I help?
Tonight there's going to be 16,000 police on the streets of London looking for non-existent riots. But this is just basically Boris and company, Cameron, flexing their muscles, showing people, putting armoured vehicles on the streets to show that they are in control. Well, they seem to have lost control since Saturday night. Now, there's no point in me describing what happened, because everybody knows of 24-hour television and visual media, all kinds of media. Everybody knows what happened. So therefore, what are my views on it? Well, I can tell you in a negative way that I was really horrified and absolutely surprised that some people that call themselves anarchists, that claim to understand what class struggle is, have condemned it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they recognise a genuine uprising of rage? And remember, they kept using the term the summer of rage. And when the summer of rage has come, what have they done? They've condemned it.
It was like the companies in America, like the large mining corporations they used to have. Like, they'd go in and just buy out a whole area, like, you know, and then leave it destitute afterwards with only their one shop in town. This is what Tesco's is going to do to these local businesses. They think they can survive one of the biggest recessions that's ever going to go on and on and on. They're delusional. I mean, these people, the kids, like, yeah, sure, a window might get done in and stuff. Like, these kids have got far more in common with them than the ruling class have got in common with these small businesses. But I think the utter inability of the BBC to report this is interesting, because it shows their utter inability to comprehend the situation. They've got people like Theresa May, the kind of like, or is it Giles, you know, the Home Secretary on the BBC yesterday, as somehow the voice of kind of like society, saying this wanton criminality and vandalism has nothing to do with politics. Yeah, of course it does. Of course it's got something to do with politics. It's a society that the ruling elite have created by ignoring everyone. Like, this is their society, and it's not criminal. What's criminal is that you can leave people to just rot in slums and turn your back on them completely. That's criminal. Like, you know, you can't. People are saying, oh, this is an outrage and totally unacceptable. It's totally unacceptable to you. Like, the ruling classes, it's completely unacceptable to some people in Sky News. Like, of course it's going to be unacceptable to them. Like, you know, they went to the same schools as Boris Johnson. They were in the same clubs as David Cameron. You know, they went into the same university as George Osborne, Nick Clegg. They're all the same class. Of course it's an outrage to them because, you know, they know they might get attacked. That's not to say everything is great with these riots. Like, of course there's a lot wrong. I'd be mad to say that. You know, you can't. I mean, what I do find it interesting is if you took out, like, London last night, you take away the statistics of assault PC, you take away the statistics of looting, and you take away the statistics of arson, I reckon you'd probably see one of the lowest crime rates in London ever for that night. Like, you know, the amount of, like, yeah, sure, there's going to be some bad stuff happening. They keep showing this, like, one video of someone having their bag gone through. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, that doesn't really seem like the worst thing has happened. I mean, people get mugged every single day in London. Like, if you want to make a massive deal out of that, just hang around in any single, like, other crappy areas and you see people getting mugged. Like, you know, that's a daily phenomenon. The weirdest thing is how gentle it was. They didn't put a knife to his neck or anything. I've never seen a stealing a property done in such a gentlemanly fashion. Elegant. Like, yeah, it's like they checked he was all right first. Like, you know, what muggers make sure you're good? Like, you know, it was really bizarre. Yeah, of course there's going to be some bad stuff happening in here. Like, you know, people losing their homes, it's awful. Like, you know, what a personal, like, tragedy. The truth is, these people, if their houses weren't burnt down, 2 years' time, they're going to be moved out of the area anyway. Housing benefit caps mean they can't afford to live there soon anyway. Like, it's, for them, it's a personal tragedy, but it's speeding up the inevitable politics of the destruction that is being caused in the area. What I think a lot of these riots have kind of done is make visible the corrosive and destructive effects of, like, 30 years of, like, neoliberalism politics hammering away at our communities, along with gentrification and every other madcap scheme the ruling class has come up with. This actually, instead of leaving it as kind of mental scarring on individuals, it changes it to something physical in the area. It removes it from the abstract pain that people suffer every day in poverty and changes it to the pain of a community, physical scars on the landscape rather than scars in your head. And yeah, it was inevitable that it would happen, and it would of course happen again.
Rather than like 1981, these riots are more reminiscent of what happened in 1992 in Los Angeles after the Rodney King verdict. Another outpouring of rage and so on. There are a lot of really atrocious things that happen, but it was a genuine expression of people's rage and alienation from the American system. There was mass looting, for example, which remember, America's the top consumer society. And here, hasn't everybody been criticising, everybody from the anarchists and the left been criticising the population because they seem to have been lured into mindless mass consumerism, and then when they transcend it by looting all the shops, people say it's out of order. I don't understand it. The only thing I saw that was out of order, I mean, the only thing I think was out of order, was obviously people being made homeless. This was bad. We don't want to see people made homeless. We've got enough people homeless anyway, and it wasn't the rich that were made homeless, it was people like us. But if you want to look at it from a purely cynical point of view, or should I say realistic, the government are closing down all the libraries. The government are closing down all the pleasure centres and so on, all the recreational centres that we pay for. They're transferring all the money onto the rich. So what's it going to be? Are they going to demolish our neighbourhoods and build yuppie flats, or are we going to seize control of our neighbourhoods, and even if it means burning down our own flats, burning down our own flats? I'd say the latter. And I think that it was really inspiring to see the police completely outmaneuvered and outfoxed all night last night.
The banks stole 80 billion from the public. I mean, in the biggest looting in history. Mm-hmm. And the thugs in the police are backing them up. I mean, I assume that's what you were referring to.
Very good.
You know, is looting's all right for the upper classes, but not for the unemployed and working classes, you know? You know, if you're poor, you know, and, you know, you're struggling to make ends meet, why should you respect the, you know, the holy institution of property?
I don't go on the internet. I'm not really interested in the witterings of idiots on the internet. You know, I prefer to talk to people in the streets. And I was down on Pembury Estate. I saw what happened. And as far as I'm concerned, the people of Pembrey Estate actually seized control of their estate for about 4 or 5 hours and defied the police, who'd been raiding the estate and terrorising the inhabitants only a week before. Don't think that these things happen from nothing. Don't think that they come from nowhere. There is a specific cause for them. But the specific cause isn't just one guy getting shot by the police. There's guys shot by the police all the time and no protests. But what's happened is the pressure builds up. And the more the pressure builds up, the bigger the explosion.
So I guess everybody's thinking about what has caused all this. Why now? I mean, especially you've got the liberal media, the right-wing media, pretending that they don't know what's going on. And they can't possibly understand why this has happened. And yet you look at every single area, it's areas of extreme social deprivation, police harassment. And the kids there basically have nothing. They have no hope because not only have they had their EMA slashed, they've had their they don't have jobs. That maybe they've left school. They've got nothing to live for really, apart from now getting stuff for free. And they're saying, well, and they actually said, one of them heckled Boris Johnson earlier today and said, why shouldn't we take stuff for free? Because you're not going to give us anything.
But I can't condemn it because it's the situation of like, well, who do you condemn? It's like trying to condemn snow. I mean, it's like trying to condemn the rain. It's just stupid. There are individuals out there who are like really malicious. And there's other people out there who generally have a problem with authority, with the police. There's some people who don't have much and they're trying to get something else. And, at the same time, it's kind of funny to see places getting looted. I mean, I just like to see the police getting a run around, and it's good to see it isn't the same old faces in the black block having to do a national call out, it's just spontaneous. And it's like a computer program that's just been virally spread, and it's something beyond my own understanding. I think it's beyond most people's understandings. It's quite nice.
Just because you stand there and you point out the fact that dousing stuff in gasoline will cause a fire doesn't mean that you're celebrating the fire when it does happen. But I don't think we can condemn people for doing what they're doing. I think it's a natural reaction to the way things are, and I don't think we should go around moralising about it and then ignoring the reasons why it's happening and burying our heads in the sand and pretending that it's somehow, just this inexplicable explosion of anger that's come from nowhere. I mean, I think people are rising up in a way that we never expected young people to do. Everyone's always said they're apolitical, but they know. They know their youth clubs closed down. They know they've got nothing to do, and they know why. They know the bankers have been giving all their money, and they know they haven't got much future. So I would say, at least some people are sticking up for themselves.
I think it's pretty mad, but I think it's been a long time coming, really. It's, this is the result of a build-up of a lot of anger and, of youth that don't really have... There's not much going for them, and that's... in the face of, all these cuts, the government's, doing nothing to help us, it's the biggest attack on the working class that we've seen in many people's lifetimes, really. So I think it's only to be expected that something like this is going to explode at some point.
They can't afford nothing, and they can't basically buy a can of Coke or something. So therefore, at the end of the day, they're looking at things to buy. So they end up stealing stuff so they could afford it. That's about it. That's the way I see it. But if the government gave them facilities, I reckon they will probably, everything will calm down, but everything's the government, innit? Put it that way.
The events that have been going on are it's crisis in anyone's book. But I think that the thing that we've got to do is ask where it comes from. It's an explosion of anger, and that level of anger, even if a lot of the violence is irrational, and a lot of the violence is clearly, completely inexcusable, burning neighbours' houses and stuff like that isn't hitting the right targets at all. There's a few things we need to remember. It is a really, really deep and widespread anger. It comes from something. We're in a society which is being torn apart by cuts. People's lives are being devastated. Their futures are being taken away from them. But people suffer police violence every single day. And you've got to recognise that if that's the kind of society that we're going to create, we're going to reap a whirlwind. And that's what we're doing at the moment, is reaping a whirlwind. It's about class, and it's about exclusion and division. Unless we actually start listening to people and we start trying to give our young people a chance, they're gonna repay us for this kind of thing. So there is just absolutely, I think that the real violence and the really irresponsible thing to do is just to ignore the fact that there is a deep, deep well of bitterness and a division which is causing this sort of feeling, and that's the way I feel about it. Really.
It's just anger. People, it got to people, anger. Everything got to people, innit? That's why.
No, I don't condemn them. I condemn the fucking government and the capitalists that put them in, put us in that position. You know, people complain about the looting, but we're getting robbed blind every day by the government, by the bosses, by the whole system. So I think this, you know, it's the system that we should be condemning, not people that are the victims of it.
So at the end of the day, if you can't afford it, why not rob it? That's the way they see it. If you got a nice trainers, Adidas trainers, and I don't have it, what makes you think that I won't take that off you? That's the way they see it. So I think that's what's going on, isn't it? Because most of these youths ain't got nothing to do. They're all outside doing nothing. So at the end of the day, they have to, in order for them to get happy, they have to satisfy themselves. And in order for them to satisfy themselves, they have to end up robbing stuff.
Yesterday, I went down to the Pembury Estate where it kind of kicked off. Because I know I've worked in the community centre in the Pembury Estate. I know that estate is a rowdy, notorious estate. And I went down there. It was frightening. It was quite scary. There was some pretty heavy stuff going on. And, you know, over these few days, there has been one or two there's been incidents that don't fit into, this isn't a clear-cut textbook uprising, but it's definitely an unleashing of anger. You know, they might not have it definitely right hitting this shop or that shop, and there's people mugging. I'm sure they were mugging before the riots. There's nasty people around. These are the crevices of, like, society that are stirring things up and rattling the cages a bit. So, of course, it's not going to be pleasant, it's not going to be nice. But you can't write off all these people. They're not all just... they're not thugs. You can't... that kind of black and white mentality just doesn't really wash.
I can understand a knee-jerk reaction. On my estate, people were talking about it all day. And I had some really amazing conversations. And some people were saying, you know, they should bring the army out. They should bring back national service. But other people were saying, well, what do you expect? They've screwed us over. What do you expect? You know?
When the police use violence, it's not called mindless violence and thuggery and yobbish behaviour, you know? Mm. I mean, if, you know, what is the difference, you know? Mm. If you're you know, young person from an estate and you've had trouble with the police like your whole life, and you know you see people condemning you, you know, why are you going to care anyway?
People were talking about the Summer of Rage. Here it is. Like it or lump it. And this is not something that's foreign to Britain. Remember, we go back, the riots like go right back to about 1381 and the Gordon riots and things like that. You know, there's nothing. We're not raising demands. The people on the streets are not raising demands. They're showing the contempt for authority, the anti-authority rights, anti-consumer rights. When I say anti-consumer, they're stealing the plasma televisions, but they're not paying for them. For me, that's anti-consumerism.
When people are starving, when they're dying, they don't have the energy to riot. They don't have the energy to loot. So it's literally the step before you're starving and you're dying, that you actually make a concerted choice. You actually have almost a political revelation, and that is to go out, that is to revolt, that is to riot, that is to loot. It's something that throughout history, and especially the history of Britain, has been the staple of any change, any social change. It's often been criticised by everyone, but it's always at the leading forefront of any social change as a mass upheaval, a violent attack against the system. And the violent attacks against the system when they're coming from the underclass, and this is what these riots are, it's a ghetto uprising, that's what's happening at the moment. And the interesting thing is the way the media are kind of framing it. This morning I saw them describing Ealing as leafy Ealing, you know, this real suburban place, and they're like, they can't believe that, why would kids attack shops there? you know, everything's so nice and middle class, but I mean, I've worked in youth centres in Ealing. There's some really rough, run-down areas. And it's the same with Clapham Junction. The people they were interviewing were so surprised that Debenhams was attacked. It's like the back of Clapham Junction is the Win Stanley estate. It's one of the most notorious estates in London for its high level of crime and poverty. It's no surprise that all of these areas in London have gone off. But the way the media's framing it is that this is a surprise. Where has this come from?
To suggest that the police need to be armed and need to institute martial law to try and repress this kind of anger which is exploding onto the street is just the last thing that is going to calm things down. All that's going to do is inflame the situation, and what's more, it's showing no concern for the kind of, you know, for the cry of rage which is really coming up at the moment from our poorest communities.
Insurrections, uprisings and outbursts of rage, they're not done according to some book. They're not done according to some plan or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, you know, anybody can say that it's been how perhaps you or I would have done it. However, when people are angry, when people are fucked off, things happen. When you've got so many people angry and fucked off, it's unsurprising that some things that people might disagree with, disapprove of, have happened. However, there's a huge number of positives out of it. The police have been fought to a standstill. They've been fought at a stage where people are talking openly about bringing the army in, where the Telegraph said the police have lost control of the capital.
Yeah.
If not this working class, which working class do they want to do it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We work with what, you know, people work with what they've got. The people who've been out on the streets work with their anger, with their reasons, with their beliefs, their politics. I've always seen it as like the role of the anarchist movement, not to condemn, but to like persuade people who are doing this sort of thing that some things we feel will be more beneficial to them and to their friends, to their class. Things are going to like bounce back at them. For example, so the people who were burnt out in Tottenham, it's unfortunate. I'm sure that the people that I'm sure that, you know, things like that people like would have theoretical and practical disagreements with. But at the end of the day, you've got to take this as a totality. This is a class war, and a class war, things don't always go according to plan, whether it's like from our side, whether it's from the opposition.
It is kicking off at the moment in various places. Where I came from, popular, there was groups of like 15-year-old kids just like in front of the police at Chris Street Market shouting like, come on in, let's have it. Like, it will go on ahead tonight, but from walking around the area, I don't think... Well, I think, one, most people would be too tired, so whatever small skirmishes do happen are kind of not going to spread anywhere. But the invading army of the various Welsh and Scottish police, and actually walking around, they're kind of walking around in groups of eight, I think possibly because most of them don't know the area, so they have to stay together. But it's like Dad's army kind of walking around. It's like the Home Guard. Like, most of them are over 16 stone and most of them don't have any hair. Like, you know, it's like, what? These people are like office police. These people aren't used to walking around like the holes that they make us live in. These people are from like, you know, the suburbs. These people are from the suburbs of like Cardiff. Not to say they don't have their own problems. I mean, what we could see is because London's on lockdown at the moment, like every single shop is closed. They don't need a curfew. They've closed every single shop in the area. It's murder to try and get to that open off licence anyway. They've closed all the shops and got police patrolling anywhere. And if you stop for a bit and look around, the police will move you on, or at least stop and search you. London's on lockdown.
Right around here, pretty much everything's been done over of any note. Most of the small shops have been the Currys was broken into, as was the Argos and Sports Direct. Everyone knocked through the back of Tesco's. I was meant for see the damage this morning, and I had to look to people that were apparently there who were still hanging about. Apparently, in the Currys, there was someone that was going to set on fire, but then someone actually told them no, because there's a big block behind and it would endanger people. And actually, once one person said, pretty much everyone else there told them to allow it, and they were stopped from doing that sort of thing. There's been right around here, sort of up the old Kent Road, there's been much less sort of effect
on actual poor people, which I'm very happy to say. Sadly, up in Peckham, some actual historic buildings have fucking burned down, like one of the best prime mass places in London. Same down Willie Rose. Police have got everything pretty much locked down right now. But what the word is that vigilantes down in Eltham are now marching on towards Lewisham with a heavy amount of football firms, old NF, EDL members down there. In Bermondsey, up the blue outside the pubs, there were lots of skinheads about around. When I went down there to check things about, most of them are left and the rest were on their way to somewhere. They obviously weren't going home and they looked for free pumped up something. But I've seen reports of random black geezers and that just being mobbed and attacked apparently without any confirmation actually had to do anything.
And I know a lot of people saying that it's apolitical, but it can't be. When people are going out there and risking serious prison time to avoid pain for things, like, that can't be apolitical. It just can't. On the second day, when all the kids came out and it looked like a bit of a, you know, just having a laugh, Robin Debenhams, Robin Oxford Circus, you know, that was absolutely fantastic as well. I stuck along the same political line. I can't endorse what happened in Croydon with people burning houses, but, you know, that's just, you know, revolution's not pretty. As long as it's gone so far, I think it's gone really well. I think that the anger has been really well placed. I think it's probably anarchists' job now to get out there and try and make sure that rage stays focused and it doesn't, you know, sort of generalise against basically everything.
It's not about, all the Reds are going to get chopped off and the Queen's going to have to fly off to Canada. It's more about a situation where you have a load of people who can embarrass the establishment before the Olympics. The Olympics is an event where all the heads of state and corporate executives all meet up and drink champagne and have oysters together in East London. And they don't want the great unwashed outside anyway, but let alone the great unwashed waving planks of wood at policemen and, you know, and this is it. It's just not what they want. And I think that they will do all they can. I've got friends who are graffiti artists, and they're already getting 2-year sentences. Tox, quite a famous graffiti artist, got a 2-year sentence about a month ago, and he's going to be inside definitely until the Olympics is over. And he hadn't really done much for quite a long time, and there's quite a few other graffiti artists recently who have been getting really heavy sentences, year or more. And that's a good example of a sort of anti-social crime, it could be argued, and they want to do all they can to sort of wipe it out. But they do not want any dissent, and they do not want to be embarrassed for the Olympics. I don't know why they're so worried about what other countries think of us. You know, when I was a kid, my parents always said to me, doesn't matter what other people think, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So surely our government should be the same thing about, who cares what China thinks of us? Who cares what the French think of us? Do you know what I mean? You know, we're dysfunctional, we're English, do you know what I mean?
I know through my work, people have spoken to youth workers around North East London and said, you know, why is this kicking off? And basically, they say the kids, they understand how it is. They look at the banking crisis, the way the government just handed over our money to the bankers. The MPs constantly fiddling their expenses, ripping us off. It's our money that they're using to fund their luxury lifestyles. And yet we're told that a bit of looting on the streets of London is somehow a bigger crime than these white men who sit up in the Houses of Parliament lording it over us and telling us that we should behave when they're the one fiddling the public money themselves. And finally, also the point made by the youth workers was that these kids know what's going on, and it's not a race thing, it's class. They said it's a class issue. And it doesn't matter what the government comes out with. It doesn't matter what Boris Johnson says about they're going to punish the looters. These kids understand they don't punish the looters when they're white and male and they're MPs. But they'll punish them, kids that have already been punished, basically. And they understand what that means. And the youth workers that work with kids understand what that means. And the government's not willing to admit it. Because if they do, they will risk uniting populations together, and they don't want that because they want to keep it as if it's a bunch of criminal thugs, and this is a brand new thing that we've never seen before, and we don't understand where it's come from, and it's purely just violence on their part, and we need the state to keep them down. That's their line, and that's the line they're going to stick with, and I think it's up to us lot to analyse it properly, to not pretend, not analyse it like a child would analyse it when they look at one thing and go, oh, that's bad. Which is, and look at the media. I mean, the media has not barely even spoken to any of the writers. Mm. Every time you see turn on TV, it's the concerned, upright citizen going on about how terrible it is, and then the journalists interviewing them, you know, probably because they're not going to get attacked by the upstanding citizens, are they? And you get people like Boris Johnson flying home to rescue us all from this. But no one's actually asked the writers what they're doing. And yet today, they asked, I think they asked one girl or two girls together, why are you doing this? And they said, well, because we want to show the police and the rich that they can't tell us what to do. And I think that's the only reaction I've actually seen from the writers on TV. Mm. They actually had a chance to speak. And if that's what they're saying, then I think people should forget the idea that this is apolitical, that this is just people that want trainers. You know, happy people don't riot. And, you know, there's no way, you can justify the inequality in our society by condemning a bunch of kids who are basically at the bottom of society, and the bottom of the pile, and are getting nothing out of it.
It's not really been possible to guide it, and it has been totally out of control, and, that's kind of the essence of a riot in any way. I don't know. A lot of people have given it grief, you know, for looting and for, you know, not rioting right or whatever. And, you know, it hasn't had, a political thing behind it at all, but it's just been loads of really, really angry kids with nothing going for them. They haven't got no future, so they're going to just go wild, aren't they? They're going to go mental. And, they have all this police oppression on them all the time in their estates. They haven't got any jobs or anything. There's nothing going for them, so it's going to happen, isn't it? And that's, you can't control that, I don't think. How can you condemn, just pure rage against everything? They're not going, oh, yeah, we should only go for banks, or we should only smash up some things. And, there has without doubt been disregard for human life and everything. And that's bad news, obviously. But this is people's reaction to being shit on constantly, and, people saying that they've had enough, and the kids, you know, they see all this stuff, Nike Air trainers at 100 quid and big tellies and stuff, but then they have it taken away, and it's like, oh no, it's not for the likes of you, you can't have this, you have to stay down in your place, stay on your estates with nothing. It's just people's rage. You can't condemn that.
However, I think that in the circumstances, there's two things that can be best hopeful. Firstly, that this carries on, because the police have only got a finite number of people. I hope that it spreads, again, playing on the weakness of the police. They're chucking in their last reserves in London, tonight. For the people who've been arrested, for the people who've been charged, I think that they're quite fortunate in that there is such an overcrowded prison service at the moment that with a lot of anyone who's found guilty will get, hopefully, a community service or a fine. I'd like to see as few of them go down as possible. But they've got to be supported. These people can't be ignored. They're not sort of like casualties in the class war, and you get some sort of graveyard, the World War One graveyards, a mental image of that, and they're pushed to one side by people in the movement. These people have got to be remembered as much as people that we actually know, and they've got to be supported as much as the people that we actually know who go down.
The strangest thing about these riots are the spontaneity of them, the self-organisation of them. At times you can almost see them as a little bit exclusive. It's like, if you're not really 15 in a street gang, it could be a little bit hard to get involved with some of the stuff, but the bigger events like Hackney, you can just get up and walk into them. It's fine. I personally think it was inevitable. It would happen. I mean, you can see the kids that are out at the moment on the streets. They're out. They got a lot of their experience from the EMA protests. If the government had not got rid of EMA, a lot of these youths, they would never have had experience of fighting police and winning against the police. They've taken that knowledge back home. They've been prepared. They've been waiting. Mark Duggan, the tragedy of him getting his head shot off by the police, it's an outrage. It's an absolute travesty. And a lot of people online, in the press, seem to be quite confused, saying, You know, maybe Tottenham was about Mark Duggan, but stuff afterwards, it's got nothing to do with him. Mm. No, it's complete nonsense. Mm. You don't have to live by the Bank of England to be angry about Ian Tomlinson being murdered by the police. Mm. You don't have to live in Surrey to be angry about Smiley Culture being murdered by the police. Mm. Same way you don't have to live in Tottenham to be angry about Mark Duggan being murdered by the police. Mm. It's just, it's the anger about how the police are treating everyone. The abuse of terrorism law to stop and search and harass everyone. The, like, the loss of the right to assembly on the streets if you're not white, not middle class and under 30. Like, you know, there's a lot of pent-up anger under years and years of a brutal police force that was fostered by New Labour and now being used by the Conservatives to enforce their plans of cuts.
Really, whatever happens in the future, the political situation in Britain has changed forever. We've never seen anything like this. So I don't know how it'll pan out, but it's changed forever. And I think the public opinion that we've seen reacting to these, the wanting of more authority, and coming from a lot of sides, seeing like Red Ken on TV talking about more police, more authority, and that's how we ended up in this situation in the first place, was the fact that there is a generation of kids who are kind of the Grand Theft Auto, you know, BlackBerry, consumer obsessed generations. This is a society that we've allowed to happen. We've allowed our children to be influenced in these ways. That kind of cutthroat, dog-eat-dog capitalist mentality. And now we wonder why this is happening. It's so obvious why it's happening. We've been saying this would happen. And it is happening. And you can't write off those kids. A riot, you know, the saying is the riot is the voice of the unheard. Well, you know, are you listening now? Because unfortunately in this world that we live in, where information is so quick with the 24-hour news and the technology is so in our face, that the only time you can be heard within this spectacle is by really kicking off. And a lot of these young guys that are part of this and creating it, I mean, a lot of them got their kind of politicisation from the EMA demos, December the 9th, when they were battling riot police. They actually got a flavour for it. And now they've seen that they can create mayhem in some respects. And, you know, it might not be politically articulate to some, but to me, it's very politically articulate. These are kids with no future, no hope, no respect for themselves. They're coming from a place of a lot of pain, a lot of isolation. Because people that do things like this are angry. They're venting a lot of frustration. We really need to break that down. We need to show complete solidarity. I stand shoulder to shoulder. That's why I've been down to things. I went down to Pembury Estate. I was down in Bethnal Green. There's been things happening all over. To witness and to talk to people and really see what's going on and not believe in the media framing of it that's whipping up so much hysteria.
Instead of people kind of focusing on the faults of the riots, you have to remember that, like, so far, like, there is a lot of good stuff that is happening. It's good because people are finally talking. Like, you know, at the very least, they're talking about the society that they want to create and what's wrong with this world. Even the ruling class are having to talk right now. But I militantly believe the ballot box is shown to be a dead end. Like, outside forces like EDLs and, like, you know, various fundamentalists of any shade, like, that's putting pressure on people, more and more pressure. And they're not allowed to voice it anywhere else. I think, if you're not on the streets, you just don't have a voice. It's that simple. If you're not out, if you live in Hackney and it's kicking off, go out and see. Don't, like, be sitting in your home, scared, watching the news, going, ah, they're going to burn my house down. Open your door. Go out and talk to people. Like, go out and see that these people aren't psychos. They're not murderers that are going to, like, tear you to pieces and burn your house just to laugh. Like, these are people with legitimate anger aimed at specific people. Oh, of course, if you're George Osborne, like, maybe stay indoors.
Activists, get out there and reach out to people and, you know, actually help people and be among people and, you know, be with the people.
a lot of people have been calling it mindless. And the thing about rioting is, it's not when people are starving, when they're dying, they don't have the energy to riot. They don't have the energy to loot. So it's literally the step before you're starving and you're dying that you actually make a concerted choice. You actually have almost a political revelation, and that is to go out, that is to revolt, that is to riot, that is to loot. It's something that throughout history, and especially the history of Britain, has been the staple of any change, any social change. It's often been criticised by everyone, but it's always at the leading forefront of any social change as a mass upheaval, a violent attack against the system.
These kids deemed as thugs and hooligans are just that, kids, and are kids at that. What do you expect when the powerful run amok and steal from us and from much-needed resources that better communities? I have no sadness over all this fighting. Only wish it were where it really counts. Whitehall, Parliament, Buckingham Palace, or Boris Johnson's home. If we as adults won't stand up against tyranny, they sure will, fiercely. Let's use our anger to overthrow the government and do some good, not attack one another. I do not condemn their lack of respect for the law. I applaud it. Now let's help channel this energy towards something good, or it will be a wasted opportunity. Let's not see that happen.
London's burning! London's burning! Everybody's driving with full headlight. Black or white, you're turning on your face and new religion. Everybody's sitting round watching television. London's burned.
We're bored on now.
London's burned.
Down,
London's burning.
We're bored on now.
London's burning.
Down.
I'm up and down a west side, in and out the light. What a great traffic system. It's so bright. I can't think of a better.
You've been listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. www.thecircleday.com. Turn on, tune in, and kick off.